And that's Darlin by George Grove. And he was joining me now. George Grove is on the telephone, a member of the current Kingston Trio for the past 23 years. Is that correct, George? It's been
that would be correct, yeah.
23. And that means there's only one person that's been a member of that group longer than you have, and that would be Bob Shane himself.
That's right. And it's hard to say without breaking into a smile that I'm the new boy in the group,
mm-hmm.
with 23 years and even more years cumulatively than Nick Reynolds.
Mm-hmm. Nick was out for about 20, 21 years there, between 67 and 88.
When the group retired in 1967, mm-hmm. he retired to the coast of Oregon and started raising cattle and had a new family.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1988, which was 3 years after Roger Gamble's death,
mm-hmm.
We were able to persuade Nick to come back into the group.
Oh, I see. I thought Roger Gamble had passed away immediately before, so you must have been playing with some other people there in the interim there.
Well, for the 3 years between 1985, when Roger died, and 88, when Nick came back into the group, Bob Hayworth played with us.
Mm-hmm.
Bob used to be a member of the Brothers Four, and he has also filled in several times from 1988 until now, when Nick has either been ill or had another hip replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I'm sure you're going to bring it up, so I'll go ahead and bring it up myself. Nick is going to be going into a semi-retirement,
mm-hmm.
in which he'll be playing a number of concerts during the year, but the ones that he is performing, Bob Hayworth will be performing.
Mm-hmm.
So it retains a great continuity in this group, probably a great deal more than other groups. When you think about a group like the New Christy Minstrels that had around 400 and some members in it, and then to think that this group, when Nick is not playing in it, has two other guys that have cumulatively around 28 years performing in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a peculiar continuity.
Mm-hmm. I saw your concert last October. You were in Cortland, which is near Franklin. And the next time you're in Virginia, scheduled now anyway, is September 25th. So those who have always wanted to see the Kingston Trio but missed them for one reason or another, they'll be performing near Manassas, a little town called Bristow in the Virginia suburbs, September 25th. And in late October, they have a couple of performances in North Carolina. Springdale, which is not too far away from Charlotte, on the 21st, Greensboro, North Carolina, on October 22nd. And that's near your hometown, those two. You'll be able to visit some of your childhood friends, right?
I don't have any friends that still remember childhood.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But, actually, I left Hickory when I was 17 years old and went off to college in
mm-hmm.
Wake Forest. And my folks sold the old home place and went to the summer home, which is up in Blowing Rock.
I see.
Top of the mountain. So I actually call Blowing Rock home now.
Yeah. When you were a teenager, you worked for a summer or so at the Tweetsie Railroad, the tourist attraction there. That was performing music, was it not?
Yeah, I was there for 3 or 4 years. It's uh-huh. hard to remember now.
I see.
Yeah, playing trumpet in the Dixieland band, singing in a barbershop quartet, and one summer I even played the role of a cowboy riding a horse.
Mm-hmm. I've been on that railroad, but before your time, I was about 8 years old. So when last time I was in that area. And you lived in this area for a year and a fraction, 1969 to 71, when you were working at Fort Monroe, also playing music, correct?
I lived in that area longer than that. I was there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, let's see. Now, the first time that I was there was when I was in the Army Band there at Fort Monroe.
Mm-hmm. The Continental Army, they're still called the Continental Army Band.
the whatever it's called, Continental
yes.
Army Band.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got out of the Army, I played there a little bit more. I got married in 1974 and moved to Nashville, and then moved from Nashville back to Hampton and was playing at the old Strawberry Banks Motel.
Mm-hmm. That's still there. They still have some musicians there, but it's been about, I've only been there once to hear the music.
Yeah, it used to be a real hotbed for good music. They had mm-hmm. jazz, had a great jazz player, Joe Jones, playing piano.
In downtown Hampton, there was a restaurant called the Hispaniola. Was that there when you were in your town?
Yes, it was.
So I have an LP, in fact, in front of me, Tom. It's called Tom Moran and the Yorkshire Lads, in front of the Hispaniola. But that restaurant's no longer there. It's a big motel down there. Downtown Hampton has changed completely since you were there in the early 1970s. I don't know if on any of your concert trips you've had a chance to get there.
No, I probably wouldn't be able to find my way anywhere except to the courthouse.
Mm-hmm. Well, oh, you had to go there a time or two.
Yeah.
I see. I won't go into that.
It's called life. You know, I had my first marriage to a Virginia girl, and we got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I live in Hampton.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's time we play some of the music. We only had one song so far. And that's a really fine album, this In the Middle of a Life, it's called. Every track is strong. It's hard to pick favorites out of that.
Well, I appreciate that. I've received literally hundreds of letters and emails of people who've enjoyed the album for one reason or another. Some mm-hmm. of them say that it describes their life, which is spiritually what I meant with this music. And a lot of others say the same thing you just did, that they just enjoy playing the entire album because from track to track, the music isn't monotonous, it isn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that's exactly the same reason that I have not found a record company that is willing to sign me.
Uh-huh.
The music is different from track to track. We have no idea how to market it.
Mm-hmm. This is distributed by the Folk Era label. Let's see, I have their catalog here somewhere. Not sure where I put it.
Right. Alan Shaw is a dear friend of mine, and he is the owner of Folk Era Records and Rediscover Music. And he's been gracious enough to carry it in his catalog.
Mm-hmm. They have every Kingston Trio album that's available in print, plus the solo albums. They have a page full of John Stewart albums available there. Oh, here it is. I have the catalog, so I'll be able to give that number out. It's a good way of catching up on recordings that people have missed from Folk Era, and also people out now. 1-800-232-7328. And
They also have a website,
mm-hmm.
which would be www.folkera.com,
mm-hmm.
and that's one word, Folkera, F-O-L-K-E-R-A.
Yeah. A great way of catching up with the acoustic music of the folk revival. That album's also available at your website. You are at timbergrove.com. And
right, Timbergrove, one word, T-I-M-B-E-R-G-R-O-V-E.
Mm-hmm. And from there, you have a link to Kingston Trio site that I check out every week or so, run by a fellow named Ken Lang.
Ken is a wonderful gentleman,
mm-hmm.
and he has become a good friend over the past couple of years. He does a very, very nice job with his website,
mm-hmm.
and gave me a great deal of assistance when I was first starting to put my website together.
Mm-hmm.
And I am honored that he links to my site, and I hope he's equally honored that I link to his. I think that they are symbiotic sites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has some things that I don't have, I have some things that he doesn't have. So a Kingston Trio fan, in fact, I think most of the Trio fans that I've talked to that have internet experience say that they have a bookmark on both sites and they like to go back and forth.
Okay. Well, I think it's time for some music now. I think I'll play, this is the first Kingston Trio song that you learned. This would be, what age, when you learned MTA, what would that be?
That would have been age 9.
Yeah. Okay, so here is MTA. This is a lead vocal by Nick Reynolds, I believe, on this one, and by the Kingston Trio. And that was MTA.
Something interesting about mm-hmm. that, Ken. At least it's interesting to me. You know, a lot of people say, especially in interviews, they say, well, don't the songs become boring? You've played them 20 or 25,000 times. And my standard reply to that is, well, the thought of doing a song that many times is a boring thought, but actually doing it in front of an audience is not boring.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. But I'm finding an awful lot of excitement now in going back to, especially the Dave Gard era of the Trio, and relearning a lot of the parts, both vocally and instrumentally, exactly as Dave did them.
Mm-hmm.
What I had done before was to incorporate my style, Dave's style, and John's style all into something.
Mm-hmm.
But I went back to MTA and learned Dave's banjo solo exactly as he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, doing that has actually helped my playing
mm-hmm.
a great deal.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Dave was quite a genius.
Yeah, that song was from the 1948 mayoral campaign in Boston, and it was daughter of Alan Lomax, or John Lomax, I get them mixed up anyway, but the daughter of one and the sister of the other anyway, that did was co-author of that. Bess Lomax Hawes. And just the name of the candidate was changed. I think that's the only thing that was changed in that song. Great song. That's one of the first ones that caught my attention. Looking at the charts, on the Capitol year set, there's a summary of the Billboard charts. when you look at the singles on the charts and the albums on the charts, it looks like you're talking about two different groups, because Kingston Trio had one number one hit, four others that were in the top 20, and a couple that just missed number 21, which is not anything all that unusual. Somebody has to have a number one record. But what's really phenomenal is that the album charts, when you look at, I'm looking at a summary from the latter part of 1958 through the latter part of 1960, during a period of about 120 weeks, the Kingston Trio had the number one album for 50 of those weeks. You know, 40% of the time, for about 2 years, the one group had the number one album, and I'm sure it was that they were many albums up there near the top, and concurrent with the ones number one. Yeah, only the Beatles would have such domination, and maybe not for that length of period of time. Probably not for 2 years. It looked, for example, At Large, it was number one for 15 weeks.
It also seems to be somewhere in my memory banks that the trio had one album on the charts for 432 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Not at number one, obviously,
yeah,
but somewhere on the charts. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the only person that matched that or superseded that was Johnny Mathis.
It shows here 195 weeks for the first album. That's almost 4 years. That was on the charts. That's really phenomenal. The total.
Well, and you know, that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons that there are so many fans that still come to hear the music here mm-hmm. 42 years later. Because everybody back then bought the albums, and they learned every song on the album. So every song in the Kingston Trio repertoire is somebody's favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way I was. I couldn't wait for the next album to come out.
And
it's like I couldn't wait for the next Superman comic book to come out.
Mm-hmm. So every concert you do, there are certain songs you have to do. You just can't omit them. Like you mentioned on your website, you had already recorded Tom Dooley seven times. You thought you'd not put it on Crazy Horse, but there were people that would not buy the album because Tom Dooley wasn't on it. So.
I know. It just seems kind of crazy, but understandable all at the same time.
Well, the market is... It's hard to understand sometimes. What I'm going to play now is Tom Dooley was a revision of a song, Tom Dula, a true story, and comes from North Carolina. I think the first person that recorded that was Frank Prophet. I'm not sure.
Yes.
He was?
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have his version, but I do have one similar by Paul Clayton. And listening to it, it's interesting, and it just doesn't sound like something that would go to number one in the charts and stay there. We're going to hear that now. This is Paul Clayton's version of Tom Dula.
Bow down your head, Tom Dula. Bow down your head and cry. You killed poor Laura Foster, and now you're bound to die. You killed poor Laura Foster, she never done you harm. You killed poor Laura Foster, you stabbed her in your arms. You met her on the mountain, there to be your wife. You met her on the mountain, and there you took her life. Oh, high up in the mountains, where the laurel thickest grows, you hid her in the mountain, and there you hid. You dug the grave just 6 feet, and only 3 feet deep, and racked the dirt upon her, and packed it with your feet. Bow down your head, Tom Dula, bow down your head and cry. You killed poor Lordy Foster, and now you've got to die. Well, I'll take my banjo this evening, and I'll break it over my knee. This time tomorrow evening, it'll be no use to me. Poor Laura loved its tunes when sitting beneath a tree. I'd play and sing to her, my head upon her knee. With her black curl pressed to my heart, I'll meet my fatal doom. As swift as she met hers on that dreadful evening gloom. I've lived a life of sin, and I've had a bit of fun. Come and kiss me goodbye, my race is almost run. Why, this time late tomorrow, I know where I'll be. Down in some lonesome holler, swinging from a high oak tree. And the limb it being of oak, and the rope it being strong, neither one will get broke. My time will not be long. So bow down your head, Tom Dula, bow down your head and cry. You killed poor Lori Foster, and now you've got to die.
That was Tom Dula, as recorded by Paul Clayton. That's 1955 or 1956, 56 I think it was. Yes, May 1956, that would be about 2 years prior to the Kingston Trio's number one record with Tom Dooley. Quite a few changes were made to make that hit record, weren't there, George?
Yeah, the first two things that I noticed were that the Kingston Trio's version of Tom Dooley has two chords in it, and it's in a major key, mm-hmm. and this version has three chords in it, and it's in a minor key.
Mm-hmm. And the melody, from the little bit I know about music, seems like part of the melody there was inverted. And it was the main phrase goes down in this version, whereas it comes, hang down your head, Tom Dooley, instead of going the other way. An inversion. Also, there's a lot of counterpoint in the Kingston Trio version. Of course, this being a solo version, you wouldn't expect that counterpoint. But
it's real hard to do with one voice, yeah.
Well, Les Paul was multi-tracking at the time. I don't think... traditional folk musicians were doing that anyway, and Paul was...
No, but it's interesting that Voyle Gilmore, who was the producer for the Kingston Trio, was one of the first producers to utilize that,
mm-hmm.
the effect of multi-tracking.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, well, a number of the songs recorded by the Kingston Trio were reworkings of already existing songs. I'm going to play one now, which is from about late 1960 or 61. This was not too long before Dave Garr left the group. And this is the preceding version. It comes from the Spanish Civil War, the Republican side. Tom Lehrer said, we may have lost the battles, but we had all the good songs. And the Republican side did. This was it's called Si Me Quieres. Also it was recorded, translated into English by the Limeliers on their first album as the Gondeza Front, I think it was called, with a whole bunch of sound effects, machine guns and such. But it's If You're Looking For Me, Write to Me on the Gondeza Front is what it means. I'm going to cue that up now. Here we go. This is the Weavers, Si Me Quieres.
Escribir, ya sabes mi paradero. Si me quieres escribir, ya sabes mi paradero en el frente de grandeza, primera línea de fuego. En el frente de grandeza, primera línea de fuego.
Si tú quieres comer bien, barato y de buena forma. Quieres comer bien, barato y de buena forma, en el frente de grandeza, allí tienen una fonda.
En el frente de grandeza, allí tienen una fonda.
En la entrada de la fonda hay un moro Mohamed. En la entrada de la fonda hay un moro Mohamed. Que te dice paisa, paisa, que quieres para comer.
Que te dice paisa, paisa, que quieres para
que dan son granadas rompedoras. El primer plato que dan son granadas rompedoras. El segundo de metralla para recordar memorias.
El segundo de metralla para recordar memorias.
Si me quieres escribir, ya sabes mi paradero. Quieres escribir, ya sabes mi paradero, en el frente de grandeza, primera línea de fuego.
En el frente de grandeza, primera línea de fuego.
That's Si Me Quieres, as performed by the Weavers, and next up we're going to hear a Kingston Trio song. Would you like to comment on the differences, since you already know Coast of California, so our audience will know something to what to expect, what to listen for, maybe, George?
Yeah, in the chord progression that's going down from the D minor to the C to the B flat to the A, the Kingston Trio's version pauses longer on the chord changes. And although it's interesting to me to hear, especially to hear Pete Seeger playing that terrific banjo of his, and it's... Isn't it important to mention Pete Seeger's name in this, his 80th?
Yeah, you just turned 80 years old. Mm-hmm.
But to me, the version of the Kingston Trio, perhaps because I'm more accustomed to it, or perhaps because musically it makes more sense to me, I appreciate the delay on those chords so that I can actually hear musically what's happening in there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only difference to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love both versions. This one, next one, tells a story. It's the Coast of California. It was done by Jane Bowers and Dave Gard, who the melody of Si Me Quieres. This is their song, though.